Okay, we're beginning here at the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, 13 lines down with the word Gufa. Yesterday we left off with the discussion with regards to Havdalah, and the Gemara wanted to know, when you ended off Havdalah, did you have to have Me'ein Chatimata? Did you have to conclude Havdalah with the last phrase connecting to the final bracha of Havdalah? Or Me'ein Petichata? Was the closing phrase in Havdalah connected to the opening phrase of Havdalah? And the Gemara said that there's really no difference in these opinions because, in general, the opening phrase of Havdalah sets the tone of the theme, and therefore the closing Havdalah would also be connected to that, as well as the conclusion, the concluding Baruch, would also be that way, and that's the way we have it in our Havdalah, which is Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, and then we conclude with the Havdalah of between Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh, and then we conclude Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. So there is me'ein chatimata and me'ein mitichata when it comes to that last phrase in Havdalah. So Gemara says there is an nafka mina when it comes to a case of Yom Tov achara Shabbat, when Yom Tov falls out on Motzei Shabbat, because in that case, the concluding bracha is be'amavdil ben kodesh le'kodesh. When it separates between kodesh and kodesh, the kedushat Shabbat to kedushat Yom Tov. In that case, when we begin Havdalah, we start with amavdil ben kodesh le'chol. But we conclude with the bracha ben kodesh to kodesh. And therefore the last phrase in Havdalah, if you connect it to the petichata, to the opening phrase, then it should be something about thematically hamavdil ben kodesh lechol, or yom hashvi misheshet yemei hamaseh. Or, if you think it's me'ein chatimata, that the last phrase is connected to the way that you conclude the bracha, then it has to connect to ben kodesh to kodesh. And therefore you would have the addition of ben kedushat Shabbat, the kedushat yom tov hivdalta, to establish me'ein chatimata. And that would be a case where there is a nafka mina between whether the concluding phrase of Havdalah is connected to the opening bracha or to the concluding bracha of Havdalah. Over there, we mentioned yesterday that Rabbeinu Tam says that why we have all these additions when we make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat that's going into Yom Tov is so that we can have a Havdalah that has a manifestation of seven Havdalot. And we went through yesterday how you get to those seven Havdalot. Based on the Havdalah that we have, which is Ben Kodesh Tachol, Ben Or Lechoshech, Ben Yisrael Amim, Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh, Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushat Yom Tov, Hivdalta, Ben Yom HaShvi'i M'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh, Kidashta, Hivdalta V'Kidashta, Dam Cho Yisrael B'Kedushatecha, and then Baruch Ata Hashem, Amavdil Ben Kodesh to Kodesh. Rabbeinu Tam established what that count of seven is by saying that the two, which is Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushat Yom Tov, and Yom HaShvi'i M'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh Kidashta, which is Chol HaMoed, are really one Havdalah. And therefore, there are only seven Havdalot over here, with the count getting us to the seven that is mentioned in the Memra before, being that a person can have up to seven Havdalot in Havdalah. And that's how we get to this count of seven, including the fact that Hivdalot V'Kidashta is actually two, because it's Kohanim vis-a-vis Levim, and then Levim vis-a-vis Yisraelim, which we'll see later in today's Gemara. Just to note that the Rosh and the Mordechai also do the same thing as the Rabbeinu Tam to get to that count of seven, but they get to their count of seven differently. The Rosh eliminates Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh from the count because he says that is just brought because of the first three Havdalot that we mentioned, because that would have been the concluding phrase if it was Chol. And therefore it's not really a Havdalah that is Shayach to this. And that's how he gets to his count of seven, by eliminating that Havdalah, but saying that Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushot Yom Tov Yivdalta, and Yom HaShvi'i M'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh Kidashta are really two Havdalot. The Mordechai, on the other hand, gets to his count of seven, because he says that Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaseh is really Me'ein Pticha, and Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushot Yom Tov Yivdalta is Me'ein Chatimata. So when he eliminates those two, then everything else he counts, then he gets to a seven count, because he counts the Amavdil Ben Kodesh to Kodesh as being the seventh Kedusha. So each of them has their count of seven. You can see them inside, but they're all after the same idea, that there is one time that we have a possibility of saying seven Havdalot, and that's in that instance when Yom Tov falls out on Motzei Shabbat. So Gufa, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Hapochet lo yivchot mishalosh. The minimum amount of Havdalot that you should say is three. Musif lo yusif hosheva, and the one who adds on Havdalot should never exceed seven. Meitve, is that really true? Omer Havdalot b'motzei Shabbatot. You say Havdalot on Motzei Shabbat. Uba Motzei Yomim Tovim, on the end of the termination of Yom Tov. Uba Motzei Yom HaKippurim, at the end of Yom Kippur you make Havdalah. Umotzei Shabbat the Yom Tov, in a case where Shabbat flows into Yom Tov, we make the Abdallah ben Kodesh to Kodesh. Umotzei Yom Tov the Chol HaMoed. And then again, the termination of the earlier days of Yom Tov into Chol HaMoed, you also make Abdallah. Avalo b'motzei Yom Tov l'Shabbat, but not on a Yom Tov that flows into Shabbat. So for instance, in this year where we had Rosh Hashanah that flowed into Shabbat, or in the instance in Chutz La'aretz where they had both Sukkot and Shemini Atzeret that flowed into Shabbat, you don't make Havdalah there because that's an upgrade in Kedusha. And since it's an upgrade in Kedusha, you do not have to be Malaveh out the Yom Tov, you just simply bring in the Shabbat, which is a higher level of Kedusha. So in that case, you do not make Havdalah from Motzei Yom Tov into Shabbat. Haragio, Omer Harbet. Someone who is familiarized with Havdalot says a lot of them. She'enu Haragio, and someone who's not so familiar, Omer Achat, just has to say one. So neither of those statements match what we said before. First of all, we see that the minimum is one and not three. And we see that the number that you can bring is even greater than seven. You can say as many as you want. Gemara says, Tanayehi, it actually is a machloket Tanayim, as to how many Havdalot you say. Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Benan Shok Doshim Omer Achat. The son of those that are Kadosh says one. Now Guam Lomar Shalosh. And the Minagam is to say three. So Man Nihu Benan Shok Doshim. Who is this Benan Shok Doshim that we're speaking about? This is really based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, not really relevant to us over here, but the Gemara brings it in context because of who this Benan Shok Doshim is, which is it's Rabbi Menachem Bar Simai. Rabbi Nachum Ber Simai was Benan Shel Kedoshim. V'amai Karolei Benan Shel Kedoshim. Why was he considered the son of Kedoshim? Well, first of all, he himself was Kadosh. That's really what the reference is to here, but it happens to be that his father was also Kadosh. They called him Benan Shel Kedoshim. Why? Delo Yistaka B'tzurta Dezuza. Because he never looked at the image on a coin because of the fear of the association with Avodah Zarah, so on and so forth. Again, that's a sugya for Avodah Zarah that we're not going to go into too much depth here. But because of that, he was considered to be Kadosh. He was noheg b'prishut, a certain amount of separation or avoidance of any chashash of something being wrong. And therefore, he was considered to be Kadosh. Kadosh means someone who is parush. He separates himself, removes himself from the everyday flow of life, and he acts with a certain amount of restraint and avoidance of any risk of doing an aveira. So, shalech rei Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Chananya achi omer achat. He says, my brother Chananya says one. V'leit hilchatok avatei, and Alocha is not like him. So first of all, over here we have instances where people do say one. We have an Atano that says one. That can be support for that bright that we said before. And we also have the Minhag Am, which followed the Tanaim of the time, who said shalosh. So therefore we have this machloket in Tanaim, exactly how many Havdalot that we should have. We have from Shmuel Ba'idi that is Chananya, his brother, said one, and the halacha is not like that. So now, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamavdil tzarech shomar me'in havdalot amurot b'torah. Yeshua ben Levi says, when you say havdalah, you should capture all the havdalot, the time, word havdalah, or separations that are mentioned in the Torah. So meitavet, seder havdalot hayach omer. Is that really true, that you have to do it me'in what's written in the Torah? Because here we have a list in a braita of the havdalot that are mentioned. And he says, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, one. Ben Or Lechoshech, two. Ben Yisrael Amim, three. Ben Yom HaShvi Lesheish Yimei Maaseh, four. Ben Tamei LeTahor, five. Ben Ayam Harava, six. Ben Maim El Yonim LeMaim HaTachtonim is seven. Ben Kohanim LeLevim LeYisraelim is eight. V'chuteim, and then he concludes Havdalah with Beseder Breishit, that Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Misader Breishit, one who organizes the creation, or Acherim Amim BeYotzer Breishit, the one who created creation. And that is because we're making Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat, on Yom Rishon, which is the beginning of creation. And therefore, it's an appropriate conclusion to Havdalah. Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Choteim Mikadesh Yisrael. Actually, the Chatimah here is Mikadesh Yisrael. The question of why that is appropriate, Mikadesh Yisrael. So the Rashbam says, well, Mikadesh Yisrael is appropriate or connected to this of Havdalah because Mikadesh Yisrael means Mikol Olamo Shiatzar Lokidesh Ali Yisrael. Then out of his whole world, he only picked Yisrael. And therefore, it's connected to Motzei Shabbat, or the idea of Havdalah, separating out things that are Kadosh. So too over here, Mikadesh Yisrael is the separation out of Bnei Yisrael, who are Kedoshim, or uniquely Kedoshim. So that's how the Rashbam explains it. Tosafot says, V'im Tomar, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, or the Rav, the Chatmei, Mikadesh Yisrael, see later on that Rav also was Chotei Mekadesh Yisrael. Show Hecha Abimein Chatima. How is that connected to the concluding phrase over here? Now, if you conclude Havdalah with Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim, then Mekadesh Yisrael makes sense as a Chatima. But if you say that the concluding phrase of Havdalah is Ben Hayom HaShvi L'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh, like we do, then why would you ever conclude Mekadesh Yisrael? How is that connected to Yom HaShvi M'Sheshet Yemei HaMa'aseh? So Tosafot brings something similar to the lines of the Rashbam, and he says, it's Havi Shapir Me'in Chatima Shekidishanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu M'Mitzvotav. Shem was Mekadesh us with his mitzvot. V'natan lanu et HaShabbat. And since he was Mekadesh us with the mitzvot, he gave us the Shabbat. And so that's the connection between the Mekadesh Yisrael and the Havdalah between Yom HaShvi'i, the Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh. Because that is an idea that is expressed any time we make Kiddush, which is Asher Bachar Banu, that Hashem chose us. And therefore he is Mekadesh us. He was Mekadesh, whether it's with the Shabbat or whether it's with the mitzvah of Yom Tov. So that is a connection. And so to hear in Havdalah, when we were to conclude Mekadesh Yisrael, it would have relevance to the concluding phrase of Ben Yom HaShvi'i the Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh. The Rashash over here actually has an interesting concept. He says, well, the truth is that Kedusha and Havdalah are actually synonyms. And if you think about it, the very famous Ramban on Parshat Kedoshim, Rashi says over there Kedoshim is Prushim. And the Ramban over there also uses Kedusha there in the sense, not like Rashi of Prushim in Arayot, but he still uses it as a sense of people that are refraining, or holding back, separating. And so too, over here, Havdalah and Kiddusha both come from that idea of separation or restraint. And therefore, Havdalah and Kiddusha are actually synonyms. And therefore, would be appropriate to, if you're making Havdalot, to conclude with Mekadesh Yisrael. So that's how Mekadesh Yisrael fits in here. Whether it's the conclusion to the way we have it in the Braita here, which is, it's concluding with Beni Kohanim Levim V'Yisraelim, which of course would make sense to have Mekadesh Yisrael, but even if you're concluding Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh, it still would be an appropriate conclusion to the Bracha of Havdalah. So now the Gemara over here wants to understand, we have here 8 different Havdalot, and we said before that the maximum Havdalot that you want to have is 7. That's number 1. Number 2 is, we just said before, according to Rabbi Shul ben Levi, the only Havdalot that you mention are Havdalot that are mentioned in the Torah. So the Gemara says, okay, v'mi'ito, if you're right about that, ha-ben-ayam l'charava lo'ktiva be'havdalah. In the Maaseh Bereishit, there is no mention of separation when it comes to the yam, to the ocean and the charava and the dry land. Yes, Hashem did split them up, but the word havdalah or separation is not used there. So the Gemara says, sami mikan, drop that, erase that from the Braita, and drop it out. Ben Ayam L'Charava will not be in Havdalah. Ihachi, Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh Nami. If that's the case, then you would also have to drop out Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh, because that's also not mentioned in the Torah. There is no separation mentioned between Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh. Havdalah is not mentioned in that case. So Mar says, M'ein Chatimahu. That is like the conclusion, parting of the Bracha. That's what we mentioned before, that in Havdalah, like we make it, Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh is Mein Chatima of Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So it's not really one of the Havdalot, it's just to accomplish the fact that the concluding phrase should have a connection to the concluding Brocha. So then Gemara says, Batzer Chadol. Then you are missing one, because now we started out with 8 Havdalot, and you just dropped 2 of them out of there. Now you only have 6 Havdalot left. One of them you dropped out because it's not found in the Torah. And the other one you dropped out because you said it's me'ena chatimata. Mar says, v'leka sheva, and then you don't have 7. Samri, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Trei, Mili, Ninhu. As we mentioned before in the Rabbeinu Tam, that Kohanim, Levim, Yisrael is actually 2 Havdalot. Ben Kohanim, Levim is 1 Havdalah. And then Ben Levim, Yisraelim is a 2nd Havdalah. Therefore, Ben Levim, Yisraelim is considered to be 1 Havdalah. Dichti, Beitai, Hibdil Hashem, et Shevet HaLevi. Pasuk in Devarim tells us that Hashem separated out the whole Shevet Levi from amongst Klal Yisrael. Ben Kohanim Levim, the Kohanim were actually separated out from within the Levim, Dichtiv, Bnei Amram, Aaron and Moshe, that the children of Amram were Aaron and Moshe, V'yavdel Aaron, Akdisho, Kodesh Kodeshim. And Hashem separated out Aaron from amongst the rest of the Levim to make him Kodesh Kodeshim, to make him into the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol at that time, but the progenitor of the lineage of the Kohanim. So that actually acts as 2 Havdalot, and therefore we'll have 7 Havdalot, And the additional ben yom ha'shvi l'sheitzi ma'ase is being me'ein chatim mata. Now, the Rashbam points out that ben yom ha'shvi l'sheitzi ma'ase is in the middle of this havdalah. So how does that turn out to be me'ein chatim mata? So he says that ben yom ha'shvi l'sheitzi ma'ase is actually after three havdalot. And therefore, for those people that only make three havdalot, we said before, the minimum amount is three, the maximum amount is seven. So people are going to say three havdalot, then ben yom ha'shvi l'sheitzi ma'ase is appropriately placed as the me'ein chatim mata. And we said that before, that was what some of the Rishonim said with regards to the Havdalot that we mentioned before when it comes to Motzei Shabbat leading into Yom Tov, that Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheitzi Ma'ase is considered to be Me'ein Chatim Mata, according to the Rosh and also the Mordechai who mentioned as Me'ein B'Tichata, because it's found in the location where Havdalah would normally end. And since Havdalah would normally end up to three, that's where the Me'ein Chatimah is placed. And then the additional Havdalot that are added in afterwards don't necessarily have to qualify as being Me'ein Chatim Mata. And that's what the Rashbam says, that Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheitzi Ma'aseh is actually found in the middle, even though it's Me'ein Chatimata. It's functioning as Me'ein Chatimata because it's after the first three Havdalot, which is the minimum Havdalah, the way that we make Havdalah on a regular Motzei Shabbat. And therefore, all the Havdalot that are mentioned now are found in the Torah, with the exception of Ben Hayam L'Charavah, which we dropped out, and Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheitzi Ma'aseh, which we also dropped out. And even though we mentioned Ben Kodesh T'chol in Havdalah, and we also mentioned Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh when it comes to Motzei Shabbat going into Yom Tov, even though those are not necessarily found in the Torah. Now with Ben Kodesh L'Chol, it actually is found in the Torah, because Ben Kodesh L'Chol is mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, and actually the Gemara in Chulin brings that as the source for Havdalah, and does have major nafkaminot from Moshe Feinstein, and Achuva discusses this, as to whether Havdalah is connected to Shabbat, or whether Havdalah is independent of Shabbat, and that might have to do with what the source of Havdalah is. If the source of Havdalah is that it's the opposite of Kiddush, and therefore it's found at the tail end of Shabbat, it would relate to Shabbat. Whereas if your source for Havdalah has been Kodesh L'Chol, which is mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, that's what the Gemara in Cholin seems to suggest, that would make it independent of Shabbat, and would have nafkaminot, especially for women, because women are chayavot in any mitzvah that's related to Shabbat. But if it's not related to Shabbat, they might be pturot because it's a mitzvah d'asei shazman grama. So there are major nafkaminot, but Ben Kodesh L'Chol is found in the Torah. On the other hand, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh is not found in the Torah. There, the Rashbam says that you don't have to find those types of items in the Torah because the Me'ein Chatimata, or the actual concluding brocha, does not have to be found in the Torah. It's only the interim havdalot that are mentioned that do require it to be found in the Torah. And therefore, Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh does not have to be mentioned in the Torah. Although the Me'iri does mention that we do have this idea of Ben Kodesh the Kodesh being mentioned with regards to the Mishkan, that between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, we have a separation of the Parochet, and there it says it separates between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. So we do see this idea of separation, where Shabbat is Kodesh Kodeshim, and Yom Tov is only Kodesh, and so we do have such concept of separation within Kodesh, and therefore it would be one of the Havdalot that is mentioned in the Torah. Now the Gemara continues and says, Mechateim, my chotim. What does he conclude Havdalah with? Rav Amar, Mekadesh Yisrael. Rav says, Mekadesh Yisrael, similar to what we saw before from the Tano, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Ushmol Amar, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. And Shmuel says, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. And that's obviously our practice, which is that we conclude Havdalah with Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. Laitala Abaye, Vitema Rabbi Yosef. Abaye cursed. Or it's Rav Yosef, who was the Rebbe of Abaye, cursed. Ahad Rav. Anybody who concluded the bracha of Havdalah with Mikadesh Israel, they felt that that was not the correct conclusion, and it was not appropriate to conclude with Mikadesh Israel. It's not exactly clear what was bothering them about it, whether it was because the Mikadesh Israel is the inappropriate term for Havdalah, an indication of Kiddushah, rather than Havdalah separating. Unlike what the Rashash said, that they're synonyms, but maybe one is from higher Kedushah to lower Kedushah, which is by whether it's Mikadesh is an elevation of Kedushah, maybe therefore it's not appropriate. Or there might be other reasons why they felt it was inappropriate, but they thought that what Rav said was problematic. The issue that we have right now is that why exactly did Shmuel come up with his position? Shmuel's position is a Mavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol argues on every one of the Tanaim that we saw until now. Nobody made a suggestion that a Mavdil ben Kodesh L'Chol should be the conclusion of Havdalah. And where did Shmuel get this from? So the Rashbam claims that the Gemara tells us in Chulin that the appropriate conclusion of a bracha between Shabbat and Yom Tov is Ben Kodesh to Kodesh. and says the Gemara over there says the appropriate conclusion has been Kodesh to Kodesh, then if you extrapolated that to a regular Motzei Shabbat, then the appropriate conclusion would be Ben Kodesh Lechol. And Shmuel holds like those Tanaim over there. Otherwise, Shmuel's statement here goes against all the other Tanaim, and there's no support for his position. Therefore, the Rashbam musters the support from the Gemara Kulin that says that between Shabbat and Yom Tov, you say Ben Kodesh Lechodesh, and so therefore over here you'd also say I'm Avdil Ben Kodesh Lechol when it was a regular Motzei Shabbat. The Tanaim Mishmei Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya, Kol HaChotem Mikadesh Yisrael, V'ham Avdil Ben Kodesh Lechol, Marichan Lo Yamav V'Shnotav. Anybody concludes with both conclusions here, which is the conclusion of Mikadesh Yisrael, plus the conclusion of Ham Avdil Min Kodesh Lechol, Marichan Lo Yamav V'Shnotav, then extends his life and his years. I mean, this is a positive thing. That's the right way to conclude, which is to have both of these, both Mikadesh Yisrael and Amavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. Now, this also could be possibly the source for Shmuel, even though the Gemara is going to reject this. We do see this concept of Amavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol being mentioned as a conclusion, and that might also be one of the things that is the source for Shmuel's position. Gemara says, V'lei Tilchato Kavatei, the Halacha is not like that, because, as both Tosafot and the Rashbam mentioned over here, because in Chutmin B'Shtayim, we don't have two themes in our conclusion. So since we don't have two themes in the conclusion, we have to pick one of the themes, and we pick that which Shmuel said, which is Amavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. Even though there are brachot or other brachot that do have seemingly two themes, whenever that happens, the Gemara says that they're really one theme. For instance, which we just had on Yom Tov, which is Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, which the Gemara in Beitza explains because Hashem was Mekadesh Yisrael, who was given the ability to be Mekadesh these Manim. So it's Yisrael who is Mikadesh the Zmanim, and therefore they make it really into one item thematically and not into two items. Ula ikla le Pumpedita. Ula came to visit Pumpedita. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yitzchak Berei. Yehuda says to Rabbi Yitzchak, his son, Zilamatulei kalkala de Pere. Go take over to him a basket of fruits as a gift. Chazehechei Abdil. The basket of fruits was just an excuse to go see how he's making Havdalah. Lo azal. He himself did not go. Shodalei Abaye. But on the other hand, he sent Abaye as his proxy to go see Kiata Abaye, when Abaye returned, Amalei, Heche Amar. What did Ula say when he made Abdullah? Amalei, Baruch Amavdu Ben Kodesh Lechol Amar Vitulo. He said, Amavdu Ben Kodesh Lechol and no more. The way the Rashbam reads it is that's exactly what he did. He said, Baruch Amavdu Ben Kodesh Lechol, and that was the end of his Havdullah. He said nothing more than that single phrase. Tosafot later says that he doesn't think that's the right interpretation, but rather, the question being posed over here by Rav Yehuda was, did Ula conclude his Havdullah? Did he only start with the Havdalot that we have, Mavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, ben Or Lechoshech, ben Yisrael Amin, ben Yom HaShvi Lishejit Mamaseh, and stop? Or did he conclude his bracha with Baruch Atah, Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol? And so that was the question that he was asking over here. Did he conclude with Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol or not? And the response that he got from Abaye was that he said everything, but he did not conclude Baruch Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. He did not make a bracha at the end. So that's the way Tosafot reads it. The Rashbam again reads it simply that was the only line that he said for Havdalah. Ata lekamei d'avua, he went to his father, meaning Rabbi Yitzchak went before his father, Rabbi Yehuda, amalei, heche amar. He says, how did Ula make Havdalah? So amalei, ana lo azle, he was honest. That's a beautiful trait, a beautiful midah. He says, I myself did not go. Ana shadrati le abaye, I sent abaye on my behalf. Amarli, and he told me, amavdil ben kodesh tachol, that he said, Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol. Amalei, Rav Revunutei Demar, the pride, the kingship, your stature, and Sirutei Demar, and the princely actions, and your refusal, Garmalei Demar caused you to Lotei Meshmata Mipumei, that this memra will not be said over in your name, or Lotei Meshmata Mipumei de Rabbanon, that you won't be able to say over the memra from the Rabbanon. Meaning that had you gone, then this memra would be said over in your name. But because now you sent Abaye to do it, the memra will now be said over in Abaye's name. And as the Rashbam points out, the Gemara in other places says that whenever you say over a memra in the name of a chacham, it's ge'ilu sifta dov dovrot bekever. It's as if his lips are quivering in the grave. I mean, it keeps him alive because the Torah is being said over in his name even after he has passed away. So then you've lost that opportunity because you acted in this way that you yourself couldn't have been bothered to go and you sent someone else. You lost out on that opportunity. Meitavei. Is that really true that that's the way you can have Havdalah over here? That this, Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol, according to Rashbam, is sufficient? Or according to Tosafot, that he didn't conclude with Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Lechol? Because we have a principle when it comes to Brachot, which is, Kol HaBrachot Kulan Poteach BeBaruch, V'Chotein Behem BeBaruch. It's a very interesting principle over here, which is that all Brachot begin with Baruch, and end with Baruch, Chutz, except. And then there's a huge list of exceptions. which makes it that the actual general principle isn't so strong because there are so many exceptions to the rule. The first one is mibirkata mitzvot. Birkata mitzvot do not require an opening baruch and concluding baruch because, number one, they are very short, and they have a single theme that is associated with them. So that's one exception to that rule. Ubirkata peirot. Birkata peirot is birkata ne'enin. And for the same reason, they do not require an opening and closing baruch because they are short and have a single theme. Ubracha smucha lecharverta. And a bracha that is adjacent to another bracha. Now, bracha smucha lecharverta, we're going to come back and discuss exactly why it is that you do not require an opening baruch when you have a bracha smucha lecharverta. But the classic example that everybody gives is Shmone Esrei. In Shmone Esrei, only the first bracha begins with baruch. After that, each successive bracha opens without a baruch, but concludes with a baruch. The reason that it does not open with a baruch is because it's a bracha hasmucha lecharverta, a bracha that is close to the bracha that preceded it. And we'll come back in a second and discuss why that is, that it does not require a bracha. Ubracha achrona should be kriyat shema. And then the concluding bracha of kriyat shema, which is emet ve'emunah or emet ve'yatziv, there it begins with no baruch, but ends with a baruch. And the question is, why? Now here, the Rishonim discuss it. We discussed this much more extensively in the Gemara in Brachot. But here, the Rishonim basically say that because kriyat shema is considered to be connected to emet v'yatziv, emet muna, because the Gemara requires that the word emet be connected to ani Hashem l'kechem. So since they're considered to be one entity, basically kriyat shema into the bracha of emet muna or emet v'yatziv, therefore the bracha of a bucher b'moisel b'ahava becomes a bracha smucha l'chaverta to emet v'yatziv or emet v'emuna, and therefore creates a bracha smucha l'chaverta. That's one way to answer the problem. The other one is to say that sukim as an opening do not require, therefore, a baruch afterwards. Once you open with psukim, you don't require, meaning kriyat shema, then you don't require an opening of baruch, because psukim serve as that opening of baruch. Never you can go straight into the concluding bracha of kriyat shema without starting with baruch. And therefore, kriyat shema does not have a opening baruch in that final bracha. Sheish mehem puteach bebaruch. Some of them only start with baruch. Ven chotem baruch. Do not conclude with baruch. That was the examples of birkata mitzvot and birkata peirot. V'yishmeim shechotein b'baruch v'ein poteach baruch. Some of them conclude with baruch and do not open with baruch, like habracha smucha lecharverta, as well as the bracha achrona shebikriyat shema. V'hatov meitiv, tov meitiv, which is the fourth bracha in birkata mazon, poteach baruch v'ein chotein b'baruch. It has two problems with it. Number one is that it starts with baruch, and number two is it does not end with baruch. Tov meitiv is a bracha smucha lecharverta. It's connected to the bracha, the three brachot before, which is azan, Al Aretz v'Lamazon, and then Bonei Yerushalayim. You have three brachot, and then all of a sudden you open up with a brachot. All the other brachot, Hazan begins with a baruch, but the others are considered to be smucha lecharverta. Tov Meitiv is not considered smucha lecharverta, and therefore opens with baruch. Why? That's number one. Number two is, even though it's very long, and seems to have a number of themes in it, nevertheless it does not conclude with baruch. So those are an exception, and the Brita mentions that, right away, that's an exception to the rule. The reason why it's Poteach Baruch, the Gemara discusses, because the Tov Meitiv was a later institution. It's an institution, de Rabbanan, over the bearing of the Haruge Beitar, and a Tov, Shinitnu de Kvura, and a Meitiv, Shlo Nisrechu, that they were given the right to be buried, and number two is that they did not rot the corpses, and therefore it was a Bracha that was Nitkan for that, but it's a separate Din, de Rabbanon, that's placed afterwards. And that's why we, actually, in our benching, say, Bonei Rachamim Yerushalayim, Amen, Amen, to indicate that that's the end of the Doraita aspect of Birkat HaMazon, and then we begin the Dirabonon aspect, which is Atov V'Meitiv. So therefore, since it was a later institution, they instituted it as a completely separate bracha, and that's why it opens with Baruch. In terms of why it does not conclude with Baruch, despite the fact that it's extremely long, bracha, so the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam both mention over here, the fish, Ein Ze Arichut, there are all these additions over there. The Gemara says you have to say three times Malchut, and we actually say a number of things three times over there, Geula, a number of other items. He says that all of that is just Narichut and Shem Shemayim. There's really no change in theme. And the length of the bracha is just a repetition of basically the same thing over and over again, and therefore it does not require a concluding bracha, because it's, as the Rashbam said, Chadachodahi. It's one praise of Hashem, and therefore thematically it's singular, and you do not need a concluding baruch. So now Gemara says, Kasha l'ula. This is a problem for Ula. According to the Rashbam, it's a problem for Ula. It's a little bit hard to understand his question, but this isn't a bracha, that's birkata mitzvot or birkata peirot. So therefore, why Is it that he only said Baruch Amavdu Min Kodesh Achol? That's the question according to the Rishbam. According to Tosafot, the question is, why didn't he conclude with Baruch Amavdu Min Kodesh Achol? He opened Baruch, and then he mentioned a number of items, but he didn't conclude with Hamavdil. Why not? He should have opened with Baruch and closed with Baruch. So I'm like, Ula will conclude, or he will say to you, Hanami ke Birkat HaMitzvot Damyo. This Baruch is similar to Birkat HaMitzvot, because Birkat HaMitzvot, my time, what's the reason that Birkat HaMitzvot only opened with Baruch and did not close with Baruch? Mishum Do'odahi. It's a single praise of Hashem, a single thematic praise of Hashem, and therefore you don't have to have a conclusion. Hanami Hodahi. So too, the Baruch HaHavdalah is similar. Either according to the Rishbam, you only say Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Tochol, so it's a single Hoda'ah, only requires an opening Baruch, not a concluding Baruch. Tosafot says that's very obvious if that's all he said, but rather it was that he said Havdalah without a Chatima at the end, because even though you're saying HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Tochol, Ben Or Tochol, Shefen Yisrael Amim, Ben Yom HaShvi D'Sheish Yimei HaMaaseh, all of those items are singular thematic praise of Hashem, and therefore it does not require a bracha at the end, similar to what we just saw with Hatov VeHamitiv, that even though it's long as it's thematically consistent, then you don't need a bracha at the end. And so that is why here you do not need that concluding Baruch. Unlike, and this Rashi discusses in the Gemara Brachot, or the Rashbam mentions here, Kiddush, that has multiple themes in there, which is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, as well as the Kedushat Shabbat, Kiyom Techila LeMikra Kodesh. And since there are a number of items, we mentioned other items in Kiddush, therefore Kiddush requires an opening Baruch and a closing Baruch. So now, as we're going to end here, but I want to discuss two little things. One is this idea of a Bracha Smucha LeChaverta. Bracha Smucha LeChaverta, why is it that a Bracha Smucha LeChaverta does not require an additional opening Baruch? So here Rashi and the Rashbam in our Gemara here mention the fact that you do not need it because Potarta Rishonash Niftacha BeBaruch. The reason that a Bracha Smucha LeChaverta does not require Baruch in the beginning is because the first Bracha opened with Baruch, and that takes care of the Bracha over here. On the other hand, Tosafot over here writes that the reason is actually different. The reason is because the concluding Bracha of the previous Bracha acts as the opening Bracha for the next one, which is the Fi Shechatam Barishonah. Since you ended the first one with Baruch, then you do not have to open the next one with Baruch. And that is a difference in opinion that actually has nafkaminot in terms of why we do not put together different brachot or why we do put together brachot. Rashi, again, the Rashbam says it's because the first baruch in the bracha takes care of it. And the Rabbeinu Tam says the reason is because the final baruch of the previous bracha takes care of the opening. And their reasons might actually be different, which is that Rashi and the Rashbam believe that you have a matbea bracha. You have a certain fixed style of brachot, which is it has to open with baruch and conclude with baruch. You have Bracha Smucha Chaverta, you're missing that opening Baruch, which is the Matbea Bracha. So we say, no, because it is adjacent to the previous Bracha, that adjacency makes it that the first opening Baruch is as if it applies to all of the Brachot that are adjacent here, and as if each one of them individually has that Matbea HaBracha. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam says, the only reason you need Baruch in the beginning of a Bracha is not because that's Matbea Bracha, but rather to signal or signify that it is a separate bracha, that this is a new theme, this is a new bracha. When you have a bracha smucha lechaverta, the previous bracha ended with Baruch. So when the previous bracha ended with Baruch, it's obvious that when you start the next paragraph, that you're not continuing the previous theme. It's a new theme because you already concluded the previous bracha. So there's no necessity to start with Baruch in order to begin the next bracha because you already, the conclusion of the previous bracha indicates that the new one is something different. Now this is nafkamina. Tosafot over here mentions many items and he has questions about in terms of bracha smucha lechaverta. I'll try to quickly touch on some of them here, which are nafkamina between these two opinions, as well as some others at the end. The first one is sheva brachot. By sheva brachot, even though we have brachot smuchot lechaverta, we still begin with baruch. And that is, we say shapo bara lechvodo. The second bracha we say is yotzer adam. Those are brachot kitzarot. Those are small brachot, and therefore they open baruch with no conclusion. But the next bracha, which is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Tzalmo Tzelem Dmut Tavnito V'Hitkinlo Mimenu Binyan Adiyah, Baruch Atah Hashem Yotzer Adam. There we open with Baruch and close with Baruch. How come we don't have it be a bracha smucha chaverta, which is the previous bracha was Yotzer Adam? And since it's Yotzer Adam, why would you open with a new Baruch in the next bracha? So Rabbeinu Tam L'Shitato says that it's because otherwise you would think there were one bracha. If you began Yotzer Adam, and then you went straight into the next bracha, Asher Yatzar Et Adam B'Tzalmo, and didn't open with Baruch, you would think they're one bracha. So in order to separate between them, we start that third bracha with Baruch. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi and Ketubot, on the other hand, says the reason that it is because they're actually two different concepts. There is Yotzer Adam, which is the Yitzirah of Adam alone, and then the Asher Yotzer Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalm Dmut Tavnito, is about the Yitzirah of Adam as a social character, as one that's mizaveg with the Isha, and therefore those two Yitzirot are separate thematically, and that's why the Brachot are separate. There's also a discussion in the Gemara Ketubot as to how integrally connected the Sheva Brachot are, because sometimes you can say some of the Brachot of Sheva Brachot are not always necessarily connected, and they can be broken apart. And since they can be broken apart, they may not really be a Bracha Smucha L'Chaverta. But you see Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam taking their same positions. Rabbeinu Tam says you wouldn't know it's a separate Bracha, which is the main issue of Bracha Smucha L'Chaverta, and therefore you have to open with Baruch. Rashi, again, says you would have to open Baruch because that's Matbea Bracha. And he says, well, over here, the reason you need the separation is because they're thematically separate, and therefore they're not classified as a bracha smucha d'chaverta. Another case where we have this is by Havdalah. We have borei morei ha'esh in Havdalah, and then we go into Amavdu ben Kodesh Lechol. There we're poteach with Baruch. Rabbeinu Tam says if you don't start, if you went from borei morei ha'esh straight into Havdalah, you would think that it was one bracha. Therefore you need the bracha, a bracha mavdil, to separate it. Rashi, on the other hand, would say that over here, the din of Borei Moreish being together with Havdalah is not necessarily a real din. Because Rebbe Hayah Mefazran, the Gemara tells us that Rebbe used to make each of these brachot separately, and then he would bring them together ala kos. So the truth is, Borei Moreish is a totally independent bracha from a mavdil, and they're not really smucha l'chaverta because they're put together out of convenience to say them ala kos, but that's not necessarily their din, and therefore it's not classified as a bracha smucha l'chaverta. Another example of this is Birkat HaTorah. By Birkat HaTorah, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvah Tzivanu Lasok B'Divrei Torah. And then afterwards, we have either Harev Na or V'Harev Na Hashem Elokeinu. Now, the Rabbeinu Tam says that the girsa that we should have is V'Harev Na, because it is a single bracha. This is actually one big bracha. It's not two brachot. It's actually one bracha. And the Vava Chibur teaches you that it's one bracha. Because according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if it was a bracha smucha l'chaverta, then you would have a problem here because you wouldn't be able to differentiate between the first bracha and the second bracha. And therefore, it must be that they're one bracha. And therefore, the proper girsa is v'harev na to show that they're actually one bracha. On the other hand, the Rambam says that the din of Birkat HaTorah is asher kiddushanu mitzvah b'tzivanu lasok b'divrei Torah, and then harev na, not a vav chibur. And the reason it doesn't start with Baruch is because it is a bracha hasmucha b'chaverta, which would be more along the lines of Rashi and the Rashbam over here. But there you have a machloket. Tosafot over here discusses a number of items. I'm going to highlight two or three of them. One of them is the bracha of Elokai Neshama. How come the bracha of Elokai Neshama does not begin with Baruch? So there are two answers to that question. One answer to that question is, Tosafot brings other examples like Elokai Neshama, which is what we say in Karbanot, Atahu Atshalo Nivra Olam, and Tefilat HaDerech. All three of these items do not begin with Baruch, but do conclude with Baruch. And he says, the reason is, She'enan brachot ala shevach b'tfila ba'alma. They're not really brachot, but they're praise to Hashem, a tefillah to Hashem. That's one answer. The other answer is, and that says the minog hagra is that it really is a bracha smucha l'chaverta, which is Elokai Neshama follows the bracha of Asher Yatzar. That Asher Yatzar is the first bracha, and then the next bracha is Elokai Neshama, and the two of them are connected, because Asher Yatzar is the bracha about the physical body and the physical functioning of the body, and giving Shevach Hodah Hashem about the physical body. And then the uniqueness of the human being of putting together the spiritual and the physical, that's what Umafli Lasot is. And then Elokai Neshama is about the bracha on the neshama, or the spiritual side of the individual. And therefore they are bracha smucha l'chaverta, and that's what the Gra suggests in the morning, that a person should say Elokai Neshama after the bracha of Asher Yatzar. He does mention the bracha at the end of the Megillah should begin with Baruch and end with Baruch. He also mentions that the bracha borei nefashot, according to Yushalmi, ends with Baruch Atah Hashem Mechei Olamim. Our practice is only to say Baruch Chei Olamim, but he says that since it is a long hoda'ah, that it does begin with Baruch and end with Baruch, according to the Yushalmi. He also mentions the bracha at the conclusion of the Haftorah, which is Tzur Kol Olamim, and then Neman Atahu, which means it sounds like there are two brachot here, and Neman doesn't start with a Baruch. There's no chatima of the first bracha and no pticha of the second bracha, even though there's a space in the machzorim. And he says, the end, nira dekula bracha achati. It's one big bracha because it's all about emanut and amitut amakom. It's all about belief in the truth of God. And therefore, there's, even though there's a gap in the machzorim, is because maybe they used to add in some shevach over there, they used to say something over there, but not because they're a separate bracha. And therefore it would be inappropriate to answer amen there because they're really one long bracha. The last thing I wanted to discuss is Baruch Shem Aaron Yishtabach as well as Yalucha at the end of Hallel. Both of those have a bracha at the end of them, Yishtabach and Yalucha, where they do not start with Baruch and they do conclude with Baruch. So Tosfot gives two answers. One answer is that they're connected to the original bracha, which is Baruch Shem Aaron is the opening bracha for Pesukah de Zimra, and Yishtabach is the closing bracha, and they're actually really one big smucha lechavrita, because the Pesukim in the middle do not interrupt, they're thematically connected, that's what the brachot are about, and therefore it's considered a bracha smucha lechavrita, and you would not be allowed to speak in between, because otherwise it would be a hefsek between the bracha of Baruch Shem Aaron and the Yishtabach, and the same in Hallel, he says that the bracha of Likro at Hallel is the opening pticha for Yalucha at the end of Hallel. That's one answer that Tosfot gives. The other answer he gives is that you don't need possibly a pticha when you have an opening of psukim. That if you have a bracha that comes after psukim, the psukim function as the pticha, and therefore you do not need a pticha. The reason that he goes in that direction is because of Leil HaPesach. On the night of Pesach, you have a problem, which is after the meal of Shulchan Aruch, we have the concluding part of Hallel, the second half of Hallel, and then we have Yalucha at the end there. That Yalucha is not connected to the bracha beforehand. First of all, we don't make a bracha on Hallel in the Seder. That's number one. Number two is, even if you were to say we made a bracha on the Seder, you have a huge mafsik in between. You have Shulchan Aruch in between. So that can't be the pticha. So therefore over there, Tosfot has to say that the psukim act as the pticha. And that's why we conclude with the Yalucha, even though there's no pticha for that bracha. And despite that fact, when it comes to the bracha of Asher Galanu, which is before the Shulchan Aruch, the conclusion of Haggadah, or the first part of the Hallel, there we do have a bracha with the pticha and a chatima, despite the fact that again, it's one whole da'ah about the ge'ula. Nevertheless, Tosafot says actually there are two themes in there. There's a thanks for the previous ge'ula, the ge'ula from Mitzrayim, as well as a tefillah la'atid lavo for the new ge'ula. And since there are two themes in there, that already makes it a bracha aruka, and that's why we make the baruch in the beginning and the baruch at the end when it comes to that bracha with regards to Asher Galanu in the Seder. Okay, we'll stop over here.